And let us turn in God's words to Psalm 5. Psalm 5, we'll read together the whole of the psalm as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. Let us hear God's word from Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. They pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning, we have the cry of the psalmist. The cry of the psalmist that God would hear his words. And he reminds himself and God that there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. And we need to understand the way of unbelief is destruction. The way of the unbeliever leads to the open tomb, to death, to hell. And brothers and sisters, as we live in a world in which there is great conflict between those things which are right and those things which are wrong, we need to realize that, what does he say at the end of the chapter? You, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. That God surrounds his people with a shield. Now, I'm not talking, perhaps we might think, in a political manner, we might argue about certain people, against certain people, things like that. But brothers and sisters, we need to realize that our enemies are those who are standing against the truth of God. And that is most of all exemplified in Satan and in his hosts. But above and beyond that, we need to realize that there are those who have joined themselves with him to fight against the truth, and that we can trust in God, in his protection, even as Jesus reminds us in the Beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God is the one who gives to us our inheritance, not our own power and our own abilities. That God is the one who rules. And so we are to hear his words. And we come to God in prayer, asking that he hear our prayers. For a Christian, reading the word of God is like breathing in, and praying then is like breathing out. We need both of them to live. And so as we look at this psalm, we see, first of all, in verses 1 through 7, or 1 through 3, then also in 7 through 8 and 11 through 12, that believers know the voice of the Lord. That God calls and we hear. And then in verses 4 through 6 and 9 through 10, we see that believers cry against the sin the brokenness of this world. And the theme that we want to see as we look at this passage is God's people rebel against the sins of this world. That we as Christians ought to rebel. It ought to leave a bad taste, vomit in our mouths as we think of the brokenness and the fighting against the truth that the world around us does. So believers know the voice of hope, the voice of the Lord. And the psalmist prays a prayer of hope. This is not a prayer of defeat. We so easily as Christians get into an idea, a mode of defeat. God gives us hope in the midst of even the greatest problems. And so the psalmist says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. God will hear our prayers. We can come before him and he hears us. Going back to the previous psalm that we looked at last Lord's Day, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Notice that it is mercy for God to hear us. We don't deserve this. And yet God calls us to pray. God calls us to come before his throne of grace. The Psalms, by the way, are great ways to learn to pray. We certainly have the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer covers many things, but the Psalms cover every end of the experience of human life. Yes, they are songs, but songs can very much be prayers. And so as we read this psalm, the psalmist is groaning in the midst of this broken and sinful world and crying out to God as King of Kings, give ear to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. Who do we address in prayer? We address the supreme ruler of all things. We don't go somewhere else. Too often we complain and we argue and we talk to other people. But the first place we need to go is to God. And notice when he does that, verse 3. You shall hear my voice in the morning. In the morning I will direct it to you. Prayer should be the first thing that we do in the morning. Coming before God, bowing ourselves to him. I commend to you the Lord's Prayer, or a prayer based on it, like it, on a daily basis. And I think the morning is one of the best times to do that sort of thing because it sets our minds in the right order. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. By the way, you'll notice I like to use you instead of thy. Sorry, it's so ingrained in me. I know it's ingrained in all of us. But I think we need to use modern language. And no one says these or thou is talking to anybody else. So I'm sorry. I know maybe that's been a little bit of a sticking point for people. But brothers and sisters, we need to use you speaking to God. God is God. And by the way, if you think that thee and thou is more formal, historically it's actually less formal. So if we're saying we're talking to God, we should be using you. But we need to realize that we can come before God and he hears our prayers. And the psalmist says, I start my day with you early in the morning. Psalm 55, at morning and at noon I will pray, I will cry aloud in the evening. We come before God, and notice what he says, where he goes. Even in the midst, as he talks between there, about the wickedness of the world, the boastful. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. We have today the opportunity, and it's a blessed thing in the midst of snow and things like that, to be able to be on the radio. But brothers and sisters, we are called to worship God in his house. as much as we humanly can. Yes, I appreciate the many things we have with the internet. And there are times when we're ill or when it's not safe. It's not the end of the world. But brothers and sisters, we're called to come together to worship in God's house. And so the psalmist says, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy because of God's grace, because of God's undesired favor. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing, he says, I will seek. To dwell in God's temple, in his house. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Another aspect of worship that has fallen onto hard times, fear. I thought God was my buddy. Yes, God loves us as a father loves his children. But those of you who are fathers know, and those of you who have been children know, fathers love in a different manner than mothers do, don't they? God doesn't just love us with hugs, and certainly mothers can be disciplined, but fathers love trying to make something out of us, don't they? And God loves us as fathers are called to love their children. With the tough love sometimes, with the moving forward that needs to happen in life. And we need to have a true fear of crossing God. Yes, our salvation is set by God, by his predestination. But brothers and sisters, that does not mean that we can look into the predestination of God and say, I know I'm saved because of this or that. But we trust in God because of what God works in us. And by the way, we're never going to feel that. God works in us through our desires, through our will, through our living a life in thanksgiving and obedient to him. And so the psalmist says, I seek you in fear. I will worship toward your holy temple. I'm going to do what God requires. But then notice verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. In the midst of that, in the midst of fear, yet notice he relies on God. That he seeks to be led by Almighty God. Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. We look to God. We look to be led by him in the direction that is right, in the direction is true. Now, how are we led by God? We don't have a leash, do we? Remember what David says in Psalm 119. Your word have I hidden in your heart, in my heart, that I might not sin against you. By knowing God's word, you brothers and sisters know my desire that we read the word of God regularly so that we know it. And to go a step beyond that, to memorize the word of God, to hide it in our hearts so that we would not sin against God. We need both. We need to read it. And there's going to be times when we don't understand it all going past. But God can use that. And then we need to memorize those things. And I love the fact that we memorize the catechism and that we learn these things and stick them in our heads so they guide us. Because the catechism is based on scripture, is a summary of what we understand the scripture to teach us. It is a great blessing for us to have that memorized. It is a great blessing to review what does God say. And we can trust in God. Notice what he says, 11 and 12. But let those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful. We can be joyful In the midst of the brokenness of this world, in the midst of the world which is seeking to overthrow the truth of God's word, we can be confident, we can rejoice, because it's not going to happen, is it? No matter how hard this world seeks to cast down the truth of God's word, they will not prevail. And the more they do, by the way, the more it's just going to destroy the good things that we had in this nation. We have to understand that. And across the world, because when you can't trust people, and when people don't build things well, and ideas based on what it meant to be a Christian, when people lie to us all the time, how can you make decisions? How can you build things? It doesn't work, does it? And guess what? As our world loves lies rather than truth, this world and this country is going to go to pot and has already begun far, far down that road. And yet, in the midst of that, we can trust in God. He will take care of His people. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let all of those rejoice who put their trust in You. Let them ever shout for joy because You defend them. God is our defense. Of course, you all know Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of these things, there is nothing created that will be able to separate us from the love of God. I think some of you in catechism, since all creatures are so in their hand that without His will, they cannot see, can so much as move, right? Nothing can separate us from God's love. And our joy is in God. The world around us, we talked about this in the catechism as well, is seeking joy, is seeking love everywhere. Anywhere but in God. In all sorts of craziness and perversion. And God says, I love you. God gives to us joy that the world can't even begin to imagine. That we have joy as we look forward to what God has given to us in heaven, as we live day by day in the peace and the harmony which obedience to God brings to us. Joy is a gift of God. Joy that though we deserve hell, we have been given eternal life. Though we deserve immediate destruction, God has given to us a purpose and a life on this earth. And as you've heard me say so many times, God has given to us in heaven beyond anything we can even imagine on this earth. And so joy is given to us in the midst even of sorrow and brokenness in this world because we can rely on God. He is our Creator. He is our Redeemer. For You, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. The blessing of God is on the righteous, on His people. Such a blessing that the trials of this world are not even worthy to be compared to them. The Lord is our shield, surrounding us with God's favor. And brothers and sisters, as we live in this world, certainly we struggle with the brokenness. But we have the wonderful shield of God's love, the shield of God's favor surrounding us. And yet we live in a broken world, don't we? And we look around us and we need to bring the truth of God's word to bear on this world. And we need to understand it in our own heads because, brothers and sisters, we can be easily enticed by the world. And we are called to rebel against the sins of this world. God is a righteous God. And God hates the sinner. You've heard that old saying, God hates the sin and loves the sinner. You can't divide the two. In fact, the same act can be a sin and can be not a sin. I can drive away in your car. You could have lent it to me. You could have sold it to me. Or I can drive away in your car and be stealing it. It's a spiritual relationship, right? We have to understand that. So, sin requires a sinner. And what does it say? For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. Remember what God says. We read, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. The Bible goes through them. And God says that people who live this way are disobedient, are living in dishonor to God and dishonor to themselves. And God hates these sins. They are a dishonor to Him. God says evil doesn't even sojourn with God for a moment. Evil, nor shall evil dwell with you. Deuteronomy 25:16, for all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. And God will destroy the boastful and all workers of wickedness. Verse 5, the boastful shall not stand in your sight. This is one thing that I think we have to be so careful about in with children in sports. We teach them to be boastful. You look at the shirts kids wear nowadays. I'm a legend. Well, I'm sorry. I don't need to be a legend. I need to serve God. God needs to be the legend, not me. We do have to be careful that we are not boastful. Reminds me of other ideas. Rather be meek and be able to handle it. Be able to do something worthwhile than be the person who stands up waving, look at me, how important I am. And we've already talked a little bit about you hate all workers of iniquity. And brothers and sisters, as we read that, perhaps our fingers are pointing outward. But we need to consider our own sins. And not just look out and say, look how bad everybody else is. I'm looking down my nose at all y'all. I deserve that judgment of God. It is only by God's grace that I am not receiving and will not be finally the recipient of God's judgment. God destroys those who lie. We have to realize that too. And we live in a culture that loves lies. And we need to be very careful that we are not caught up in that. God will destroy those who lie. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. And Lord, I pray that you would destroy some of these people who just lie all the time. I truly do. We need God to stand with his truth. The Lord loathes the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Again, this is another thing I think we have to be careful with the video games kids play. And perhaps we play. Are we getting bloodthirsty because of these things? And is our culture getting bloodthirsty? But above just that, we need to understand that that speaks specifically of Satan. God loathes him. God will and has defeated him. From their perspective, will from our perspective has. And he puts, though, notice, he puts bloodthirsty right next to what? Deceitful. Now think about that. Deceitful is not even the person who's a straight out liar. Deceitful is just, I'm twisting things a little bit. God says those two ideas next to each other, we need to be very careful that we are not involved in lies. We are not involved in deceit. We are to love the truth because God is a God of truth. I love the Heidelberg Catechism says that in matters of judgment and justice, we love, confess, I forget, I'm getting it wrong there, but love, speak honestly, and confess the truth. Notice it makes a descent there. Even, I love the truth, and even if I'm scared because I'm going to get in trouble about it, I go all the way to the point at which I confess it readily and willingly. Because far better to speak the truth than to be lying. Because, of course, where do lies come from? From Satan. And the psalmist prays for the destruction of the wicked. Verses 9 and 10. There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Notice that these things are not rebellions. They're not, first of all, against us. But these things are, first of all, against Almighty God. And there is faithlessness within this world all over the place. There are lies all over the place that we as Christians should be holding before God's throne of grace, crying out, saying, Lord, make these clear. Bring the truth out so that the lies can be shown. Their throat is an open tomb. Of course, think about the laws in the Old Testament. You weren't allowed to touch a dead body without being unclean for a week. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that death and lying go hand in hand. That lying is the pathway to hell. But notice it also speaks of flattery. And there are people who flatter with their tongues. They talk nicely to you on the one hand, and then they talk badly about you on the other hand. We are called to speak the truth. And God calls the psalmist calls for God's judgment on these works of sin. That they would fail at their own counsel. And I love the fact that God does this. That God takes the counsel, the ideas of man, the wisdom of man, and turns it on their own head. Oh Lord, please do so. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. Because they have finally rebelled, not against man, but against God. And brothers and sisters, as we think about the wickedness of this world and their rebellion against God, I do want to remind us of the conclusion of the psalmist, because if we stop there, and I've somewhat irregularly divided the psalm to look at the ideas of the psalmist together, our trust is in God. Let those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You, with favor, you will surround him as with a shield. God cares for us. God takes care of us as his people. God is the one who gives to us hope day by day. And yes, this world is backwards and upside down. Yes, this world is working and doing the ideas of Satan in lies, in fighting against the truth of God. But they're not going to win. The battle's won. Christ has won. He won it on the cross. He won it by giving his life. And brothers and sisters, God blesses his people. And I stand in awe to count myself a member of that number. That God blesses, God cares for us as his people. He has given to us his favor as a shield in the midst of this broken world. Amen. Let us then bow our heads in our hearts before God's throne of grace, and we'll close together this prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, gracious, heavenly Father, we do pray that you would expose the works of wickedness, that you would expose the lies of our culture so that they would not be able to hide behind them. And we pray, Lord, that we would hold fast the truth of your word, that we would hold it out as the answer to the brokenness of this world. And we pray, Lord, that we would rely upon your shield, upon your care, and that we would not fear man, but rather that we would fear you, the Almighty God, the God of the universe, and that we would trust in you in everything we say and do and think. We pray, Lord, that we would truly glorify and honor our great and awesome Savior by the lives which we live, not in fear. Even as you have told us, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith and hope, of boldness. And we pray, Lord, that we would live by faith, by hope, in boldness in this world, relying upon the truth of your word. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.